Blog Talk Radio.
I miss you.
Hello, world. Happy Monday. You're listening to The Garden of Enlightenment with Louie Wildove and Gray Eyes Smith. And so tonight's show is brought to you by a group on All Poetry called Late Night Poets. And we have anthologies available on Amazon filled with poetry from around the world, so feel free to check those out. And, yeah, so welcome to the show. Tonight's show is based on some carryovers from last Monday's Love and Laughter contest. And this week's contest, which is I Miss You Quote by Gemma Troy. And it says, just one second. Sorry, I got to zoom in here. It says, I miss you in ways that not even words can understand, by Gemma Troy. So that's tonight's show, as well as a bit of open poetry. I'm going to go to the phone lines here and see if we have any callers. And we do. Welcome, area code 318. Is that you, Martha?
Ben Moon, deer catcher.
Oh, deer catcher. Hey, how are you doing?
Doing fine.
That's awesome. Glad to hear you. Have you call in? Good to hear your voice again. All right. So I'm going to grab the first link here. And if you wouldn't mind reading it when you see it in the group, that would be great.
Okay. I've got it up on my All Poetry site.
Yeah, in the group Late Night Poets?
Yeah. No, I'm not in that group. That's not how I'm connected to you. I'm on the phone and I've got the poetry site. What else
okay,
do you recommend? Okay.
Well,
Late Night. I've got the Garden of Enlightenment. Do I click on Late Night Poets? Would that do it?
Yeah, if you're a member. But I'll message it to you.
Okay.
If you want to check your direct messages. I sent
it. All right. I'm set up on Tigris, along with Tigris. I mean, I can read it if you're ready.
Well, I sent you a poem in your messages, if you wouldn't mind reading from that.
Okay. Boom. So I'm looking at the contest now.
No, it's a poem by Marvin Goldfarb.
Okay. Got it. You want me to read that one?
Yes, please.
It's better to laugh than cry. It's better to laugh than cry. That is true, so don't wonder why. You see, if you laugh at yourself, you can solve the problems. You can put your problems on the shelf. But if you cry, folks will not wonder why. Sympathy will not be shown, and you'll cry alone. So put on your face that happy grin, and soon you'll be happy from within.
Excellent read, dear catcher. But you know, this poem is filled with sentiments to live by. It's heartfelt and endearing. What did you think of the poem, dear catcher?
It's good advice. It's the problem with sad people is they can't see it, they can't do it. But you know, it's in doing that you become. You know, the fake it till you make it. You know, practice. You know, your practice makes perfect. You know, you smile when you feel like crying. You say positive things. You look for the positive things. Because if you, no one else will do it for you, and you won't cease to be sad until you can overcome this hurdle. He's telling the truth. He's telling the truth.
Absolutely, I agree. Thank you so much, dear catcher. Okay, I have the next write-up. Before I read it, I'm going to check the call board here. We have another caller here, so I'm going to bring this person on. Hello, area code 667. Who's calling, please?
Martha.
Hi, Martha.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. You're on with Deer Catcher and myself, Gray Eyes.
Yeah, Deer Catcher.
Hello.
Did you get a chance to hear Deer Catcher's read?
Yeah, I thought it was an excellent read. It's a very nice poem. It's true. It's true. It's very well expressed. I like the rhyme and the flow of it. It's really good.
Excellent comment. Thank you, Martha. Okay, Martha, would you mind reading the next poem by Old Sarge?
Sure. Let me find it here. Oh. Okay, I found it. Alrighty. Shazam, Shazam by Old Sarge. Please move to Mayberry and marry me and make sweet love under the old oak tree. We'll name our sons Goober and Opie if you'll just say okie dokie. We'll get a coon dog and name him Rover. Every Sunday we'll have Sheriff Andy over. We'll move next door to Deputy Fife. We'll have a grand old country life. I once had a city slicker style, but you turned me into Gomer Pyle. Golly, Shazam, Shazam, how I sure do love you, ma'am. We'll eat Aunt Bee's fresh apple pies and swear how the time surely flies. Shelling those green peas by the peck, setting in the sun, getting an old redneck. We'll raise us six strong, healthy boys by giving them chores instead of fancy toys. We'll have a little girl, or maybe two, pretty as a picture, just like you. Honey, I'm serious. I ain't spinning no yarn. Let's get some education out behind the barn. When the kids settle down and out in the light, we'll make hot country love on a cold winter night. We'll move next door to Deputy Fife. We'll have a grand old country life. When the kids settle down and out in the light, we'll make hot country love on a cold winter night.
That was a fantastic read, Martha. I thought it was a fantastic poem. You know, it takes you to that TV show that was on, and, you know, with Gomer Pyle and Goober and Opie, Sheriff Andy and Deputy Fife. It's just a fantastic flashback to my old TV days. And what did you think, Deer Catcher?
Well, she'd be crazy not to accept that guy. Yeah, he's pretty intense. He's going
right.
to talk. He's going to save the world, man. That one right there by himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Deer Catcher. And Martha,
right.
What do you think of the poem?
I thought it was great. I loved all the way he worked in the references to the show, and they worked in just perfect. I just thought it was a really great poem. Funny as could be.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Martha.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate the comment. Okay, I'm going to grab the next link here. And this is called Laugh Attack by Abyss. Bubbling like a soda, you make me go-go so. Then shook until I erupt. My stomach hurts, but I'm out of control. Down my cheeks, tears begin to roll. Now I can't breathe. I've had to sit down. Can't stand on my feet. Oh, you make me so weak. I'm not sure if it makes me a freak, but this is a favorite feeling that I seek. End poem. And, yeah, I like it. You know, you're a can of soda that's being shook until you erupt. By the laughter that you're holding in or letting out, one of the two. And I thought it was fantastically written. What did you think, Deer Catcher?
Been there, done that. I've been to Kennesota once. Yeah. Yeah.
Great comment, thank you. And Martha, what did you think?
I thought it was a great poem. I love the way it described the laugh and how it builds up, and I thought it was just excellently done.
That was a great comment. Thank you, Martha. Okay, I'm going to go up the next poem here. All right, here we go. And if you wouldn't mind reading this, dear Catcher, I'll send it to you.
Okay.
In the message.
All right.
Okay, I'm sending it now. There you go.
Gotcha. Spousal revenge. Opening. In 6 chapters.
See it.
His wife couldn't hear well. Friend told him, experiment at different distances. So from hall asked, hon, what's for dinner? Nothing. From kitchen door, hon, what's for dinner? Still nothing. He's right beside her. Hon, what's for dinner? She says, you know, that's the third time you asked me that. Wife is a real worrier. So bad she makes up problems. Husband trying to help her says, embrace your problems. She immediately hugs him. 2 days later, she comes home from shopping. Sees her husband is strangely waving rolled up newspaper. Asks, what in heaven's name are you doing? He says, killing flies. Got 3 males and 2 females. Worrying wife says, there's no way you can tell their sex. He retorts, yeah, got 3 on beer glass, 2 on the telephone. 4. Both talk. Thinking some lovemaking might help, he dreams wife dresses up as a policewoman. And she arrests him for too many indecent acts with her. In the morning, she tells him, had to drop the charges. He asks why. She says, insufficient evidence. A week later, wife is feeling guilty, so she puts on a sexy nightgown. When husband gets home, she says, tie me up and you can do whatever you want. So he ties her up and leaves to play golf. 6. Returning, she asks him, what's the difference between a husband and a dog? He shrugged, putting his clubs away. She said, after a year, dog still pays attention to you. It only takes 2 months to train a dog. This was called Spousal Revenge in 6 chapters.
Yeah, I thought it was a fantastic statement on, you know, a modern marriage and the stuff that they go through on a daily in their relationship. And, you know, I found the whole poem excellent flow, great storyline, and fantastic long-running joke. And I thought it was beautifully done. What did you think, Martha?
I thought it was excellently done. It was very funny, and the flow was really good, and it was just a great poem.
Great comment. Thank you, Martha. And Dear Catcher, what did you think?
That's one of those things where you laugh, cry. I mean, you've turned it into laughter, but the underlying story is... I wrote one poem about what used to be a roaring fire has now become 2 cold logs because they drifted too far apart. You know, it takes work. It's like riding a horse or driving your car. You have to keep your hand on the reins. You have to keep your hand on the wheel. You got to work at staying connected because you will drift apart. And in laughing about it is better than crying.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, Dear Catcher. And I'd like to welcome Sawa to the show. Hello, Sawa.
Hello, everyone. Hi. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hi, Martha. How are you, Martha?
Hi.
And I, how are you? Hey, Grace.
I'm doing okay.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Dear Catcher.
I know that is the third. Dear Catcher. Okay, hello, Dear Catcher. And I agree, it's kind of sad, but if you take a serious matter that's personal and give it, maybe, I'm not sure it's personal, but give it humor to ease the pain, sometimes we do that. We laugh about something to not feel the pain, I think. In my opinion, that's me, but I don't know if that's the case. Well done, and well read.
Thank you, Sawa.
My pleasure.
And Martha, if you wouldn't mind reading the next one.
Okay. The Toads. The Toad Story Revised. I'll take this junction here, the snail said. I'll probably be home sometime next year. I traveled with him some 3 hours or so and wasn't sure that I could press a rear. It wasn't that he lacked in social grace or failed to entertain along the way. It was, however, down to lack of pace. I searched for some excuse to be of good day. We met some 50 feet or so ago, and though 'twas captivated by this chap, I hadn't moved an inch, but do you know, he told this yarn of him and the speed trap. It seemed he'd been the victim of a fraud, some dastardly young hare who blazed the trail. When stopped by traffic cops, he passed the buck, leading to the summons of said snail. Before I knew it, I'd become enthralled and traveled 13 inches down his road. Now, that's not easy for the likes of me, for as you know, I am a handsome toad. The story outcome of it all, it seemed, was my new friend the snail got so distressed, he cautioned with his driving license stamped and found himself under house arrest. I asked him just how far he'd have to go. Let's face it, he's no cheetah or gazelle. And there before my eyes, he said goodbye and disappeared into his homely shell. I sat a while and pondered on the day. There must be some small moral to this tale, where me, a portly toad, sat all alone beside the house of one exhausted snail. Now, Mrs. Toad, I know you won't believe why I've been out so long might seem so queer. I wasn't with the folks sipping pints. That snail on my breath, not stale beer. And poem.
Yeah, I liked it. Excellent write by Dan Link. And you did a fantastic job reading that, Martha. But, you know, it had an excellent blow to it, and it had a great storyline as well. Very engaging and pulls you through to the end where he ends up being eaten by this toad. And I thought it was fantastic. What did you think, dear Chester?
Well, I have trouble telling the difference between snail breath and beer breath, too.
Absolutely. Thank you for that comment. And Sawa, what did you think?
It's really... I like how he put it, like a fable kind of style, where he put himself in there and between the parentheses, if I search for some excuses to bid goodbye, or it's almost like a narrator who, a third one, who, in the middle of the story. And I like how he gives a lesson on all of this. It's like the toad is big and it's made it so, but he can hide in the shell. And he's not a cheetah or a gazelle. There's just really great humor, but at the same time, have a lesson that we can relate to it in life, too. And that's what I see here.
Thank you, Stella. It was a great comment.
My pleasure.
And Martha, what did you think?
I thought it was really good. It was engaging. When you started reading it, you couldn't stop till you get to the end, because it was just so interesting to see what was going to happen next. I thought he did an excellent job.
Great comment. Thank you. And I agree. Okay, I'm going to post the next poem, if you wouldn't mind, please, Sawa.
Of course. Let me just, okay. I was commenting, sorry, so let me refresh. Which one is it, by Eva? No, that's not the one. Oh, by Eva?
Eva Paluzzi.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it's about Toad. That was confused. That was the same one before. Okay. my toad lover, Eva Palazzi. The toad I've met at spring's first winter day sat enthroned in the middle of the bike's road, shiny gray ribbon, and was just warming up all his winter paralyzed body parts. The pounds of watery reptile evolution were then, marvelously ugly skin, long since extinct. Dinosaur observed me through his frog eyes as I stopped uphill to greet the olive draft living fossil. What if you were my experience and kiss could reveal whether you've been cast a spell over? Muse the fairy tale behind my 60-something years, 300 million springs of the phylogeny, took to some bag before me and didn't return my words with not even a single twink. What if this was a fable trap? It's just a kiss that needed to turn me into your green, roachy-skinned, toad lover, mock the same tale, which version inside me. And into the wayside ditch, I pushed my camouflage prince lest the bike hit over him. Adieu, sweetie, wave farewell, my inner fairy, and my witch version told me, hurry to work. You silly. I'm sorry, I couldn't help laughing. End of poem.
No, I love it.
Oh, my goodness.
That was a great read. Fantastic storyline for this as well. It really engages you and pulls you through till the very end where it says, adieu, sweetie, wave farewell, my inner fairy, and my witch version told me, hurry to work, you silly. I liked it. Very childish, but, you know, very engaging still. What did you think, Dear Catcher?
It was very melodic, very transcendental. The rhythm to it was just very engaging, and it was just a very pleasant experience, very pleasant read.
Great comment, thank you, Dear Catcher. And Martha, what did you think?
I thought it was great. I love the rhyme and the flow, and I like the story was really interesting, and I like the way it ended. It was really good.
Thank you. Wonderful comment. And Sawa, what did you think?
I love how she woven on the story of the prince and the frog that kissed, that's a spell on him. I think it's really brilliant. What if you're my hex prince and a kiss could read you? She had a great way, her wording is so unique and her expression. I really like her writing, and I love how she added this humor at the end. Adieu, sweetie. Wait farewell, my inner fairy. And my witch version told me, hurry to work, you silly. It's so funny. I just really beautifully done. She gave us a beautiful story with humor, and I mean, so many of us, actually, we can, like so many, really wish there's a charming prince. So she put it there in a way that maybe some women can find themselves in there, I think, too, as well. And in a nervous way.
Yeah, great comment, so thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay, so I'm going to post the next poem here. Oh, it's got the same last time. Let me re-grab that link. There it is. This is by Oil Can Murphy, and it's called Blindsided Date. And I'll post this to the group here.
I didn't know that.
Okay. And I'll send you a copy of that, Dear Catcher.
Okay,
1 second here. Okay. There we go. All right, so this is by Oil Can Murphy, and it's called Blindsided Date. The first date, I'm in luck. Truly love at first sight. My joy abounds. It seems an end to the blight. A fine restaurant to dine. Pudding. I'm under your spell. Your sweet-voiced order. Two chickens, medium well. Discussing hopes and dreams. The latest technology. Your take on identity theft. They just want to be me. The evening lingers on, no longer sensing the joy. She hesitates, then proceeds. Do you always wear maroon corduroy? My darling dear, lovely rose of Cincinnati, over there's the door. Sweetheart, you incomplete me. I like it. Yeah, that's a big hell, you know. I thought it was fantastically written. You know, it had a wonderful flow and rhythm to it. But no, it was beautifully done. You know, it makes it very humorous on the subject of the first date. Beautifully done, Oil Can Murphy. What did you think, Deer Catcher?
Oh man, this kind of stuff makes me nervous because I'm a fellow that thinks everything was going charmingly to find out that the woman thinks I'm a total dunce, complete jerk. You know, it just kind of, it takes me a while to get over that. I just can't help but feel for the poor guy and his poor choice of clothing.
Yeah. Great comment. Thank you. And Martha, what did you think?
I thought it was really good. It was engaging. I liked the flow of it, and I thought the ending was just really good. Excellent job.
Great comment. Thank you, Marcel. And Salva, what did you think?
I heard this before in another show. He's just amazing. He had a way to always include most of his poems are humorous. It can happen to anyone, woman or man, like go to date and then goes wrong. It's just like almost we're there sitting and watching and want something happy as can happen, but then it turns right at the end. And, everything going well, discussing hope and dreams. You take on that, you just want to be me. And that's where he started. And I can imagine, like, sometimes the first date you ask, like, questions that make people uncomfortable. And it's just thrown everything. So well done. That's not more than it.
Thank
just
you,
great
so.
Humor. Yeah. My
I'd like to welcome Naomi to the show. Hello, Naomi.
Hey, Naomi.
Hello. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Hello, Martha.
Hi,
and there's somebody else on that I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, hello, Greg.
Hi. Deer Catcher.
What, Deer Catcher?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, well, hello. Catcher. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet
you. Okay, Deer Catcher, I have your poem up.
All right. It's for the contest, I Miss You. Titled Along the Tigris. I've been dreaming of wandering the garden, revisiting the places I spent my youth, overcoming the difficulty of time and distance, problematic to frequent in this land of abundant sun. All the clues, the mementos that preserve the breadcrumb trail home, trigger the memories of playing in your shadow, running nearby field, dabbling in your creek. Gathered in your skirts, I was a welcome, comforted inner child. With feathered leafy fringe, you tickled my cheek, invited me to gather handfuls of willow tresses, lift my feet to swing. You carried my burdens, listened to my fears. I felt your tears on my cheek. Sang back to you from the flint stone wall, the song, the wind played in your limbs. Why do the kind, the tender, the beautiful, unguarded hearts die young? Why do the cottonwood borer and harlequin beetle seek the flesh of salix to sequester buried brood. Planting weeping willow is precarious, vicarious luxury of pendulous pageantry is risky. Twigs tangle harp strings along the tigris, tears water a stump. Only the lyrics last forever, promises lovers make without words, lamenting the end of the season when you bloomed for me. This is a quote from, I believe it's Godspell. On the willows there, we hung up our lyres. Actors there required of us song and our tormentors mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. But how may we sing the Lord's songs in a foreign land?
Wonderful. And a fantastic, right? You know, it's full of longing and connection and a depth of love that's just carried with you throughout the life that you lived. And I thought it was a fantastic write. What did you think of the poem, Martha?
I thought it was great. It was very moving and very emotional. And it's just an excellent poem. I really liked it.
Thank you, Martha. And Sala, what did you think?
I really like it. It's kind of sad. The beginning, you think again, it's a happy poem. I've been dreaming of wandering the garden, revising the places I spent my youth. There's this longing, but then it turns at the end very kind of really lamenting almost. Tears, water, stump, only the lyrics last forever, promises lovers make without words. Lamenting the end of the season when you bloomed for me. And you read it with so much emotion, so made it even more emotive.
Okay. Thank you, Salma. And Naomi, what did you think?
Oh, my gracious. This is so such a beautiful and well-written poem and so heartbreaking. There's gorgeous imagery throughout this piece. With feathered leafy fringe, you tickled my cheek, invited me to gather handfuls of willow tresses. Listen, my feet to swing, you carried my burdens. Just all throughout, wow. Just an amazing, amazing write. It has so much emotion inside of it. It's such lovely metaphors, too. Throughout, just wonderful. I'm booking you for future shows on my future rights for my kind of on my show. You have to come out. This is just amazing, amazing, amazing. Just a beautiful write throughout.
I had client's father and daughter. He's a retired prominent businessman, and she was a doctor. She was a specialist in epidemiology, and she was fighting the COVID, and was 49 years old and died. And I loved this woman. She was a doctor, and I'm a tree man. I trim trees. And she gave me time, listened to what I said. She was an avid gardener. And when I found out she died, I put this poem in a letter to him, telling him how much she meant to me, how shocked I was. In the poem, yeah, he told me, he said it was just amazing. And he said, you're absolutely right. She wasn't through blooming yet. She was 49 years old. She wasn't through blooming yet. But I was able to really, really touch him with this piece of work right here.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's a beautiful story. Tragic, beautiful.
Just beautiful.
Okay, Martha, I've got your poem up, and you have a SoundCloud, so I'll grab that. But first, okay. I'm going to bring on Bobby. Hello, Bobby, is that you?
I'm late to the party again.
Hi, Bobby.
Hi, Bobby.
Hi.
Hi. I was busy making soup. I'd finished making soup. Oops.
Nice. Okay, so I've got Martha's SoundCloud. I'm going to play this.
How Am I Supposed to Live by Martha Gettle. How am I supposed to live without you? How can a heartbeat that's broken in two? My mind keeps just ripping me apart. I hear your name with every beat of my heart. The tears I cry, they never end. As my arms long to hold you again. I'm still here, but I'm falling apart. I know no way to make the healing start. So stop this heart that beats in my chest. And God can look over all the rest. Life has brought me to my knees. And I can only beg and plead. Each day's a trial to get through. Just another way to miss you. I wish someone could tell me, please, how can I live without you and me? So stop this heart that beats in my chest. And God can look over all the rest. Life has brought me to my knees, and I can only beg and plead. I sat here like I'm made of stone, facing the rest of my life alone. You were the light in my life. That light went out when you had to say goodbye.
Yay, that was a fantastic job, Martha. You know,
Thank you. You
can feel the longing and the loss in this poem that you've written here, this song. Each day a trial to get through, just another day. Another way to miss you. I just wish someone could tell me, please, how can I live without you and me? You know, that wrenches the heart and pulls you to your knees. And you can only beg and plead. Just a fantastic write and an excellent singing job. What did you think, Deer Catcher?
I think that the hardest thing about living is saying goodbye to the people that we love. And the more it hurts, the better it was. The more you miss them, the better it was. You don't want to say, thank God the son of a bitch is finally dead. You know, you don't want that. You want the hurt you want to miss. And then to honor their memory, be honest with yourself that they would want you to live. They would not want you to not be able to continue to enjoy the things that y'all enjoyed together. I mean, there's no satisfaction from heaven to look down at a broken half soul.
Absolutely, yeah. Well said. Thank you, Deer Catcher. And Martha, what are your thoughts?
Just a second. I wrote that about my husband, and I started it a while ago, and I wasn't able to finish it, and I finished it for this contest.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you, Martha.
And I could remember
thinking that when he was gone, that all it was heartbeats between him and I. And then I got the idea, well, what if the heartbeat stopped? And that's when I wrote the song.
Right. Well, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing, Martha. Very sad. But what did you think, Sella?
I'm confused. I don't know. I'm sorry if it's a loss. My sincere condolences. I'm not sure if he left or is a loss, but it's just really heart-wrenching poem. You can feel the emotion, the longing and the sadness, the loneliness of being with someone that you is the light of your life that leaves you. It's not easy. It takes time to really heal from such a pain. Really beautifully done.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so sad.
Well, sir, thank you. Thank you, Sawa. Okay. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, my condolence. So I think it's because your husband passed away, eh, Martha?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. And you feel it through this poem how you long for him and how, you know, it's with through the rawness of the write, it's written from the heart. I sit here like I'm made of stone, facing the rest of my life alone. You were the light in my life. That light went out when you had to say goodbye. That's just heart-wrenching right there. You know, it's really a touching, touching poem, Martha.
Thank you.
Thank you, Naomi. And Bobby, what did you think?
Well, I think all the other comments are quite quite profound. It occurs to me that life is very binary. Would you expect a comment like this from an engineer? But we have no joy without sorrow. We have no pain without pleasure. No happiness without sadness. Unfortunately, we need the contrast. And we know going through life, we have to have that contrast. And the only way to, you don't want to be emotionally numb. Because I knew someone who was like that. She spent most of her life trying to insulate herself from hurt, from being hurt emotionally. She also very successfully insulated herself from happiness. And when she died, there were only four people standing around her coffin, and three of them didn't want to be there. You don't want that. You want to feel things. Unfortunately, the only way to get over grief is to go through it. And if, especially if you care for someone deeply, as you did to your other half. But you know what? Think about it. It's painful when you lose someone who is just the nucleus of your existence. But you know what you got to do? You got to think about all the time you had with them. And how lucky you were. Because that's what I do when I think about my dad. He died very young, but I always think about all the fun we had together and everything he taught me. So it's tough. It sucks. But it's you've written about it. You've experienced it. And I think we all relate to what you're going through. Beautiful piece.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, Naomi, I put your piece up if you don't mind.
Okay. This is called Kettles. It's also written from experience. Kettles. I watch the snow falling as you sit there, so still, across from me, yet so far. Silently skimming through messages on your phone. Here you laugh and tease before you quickly ran out to buy me a shiny red kettle first day you came for coffee, 'cause I boiled water in a pot. I slip on my boots, hat, coat, mittens, and scarf that keeps tightening around my throat. Drag the shovel to the door. Step out into more silence. Breathing in just more cold. Wishing you still brought me kettles and saw me. And not only that the snow has been cleared away from my steps. End poem.
Well, that was hauntingly beautiful. You know, you can feel the loss and the longing in the poem. But I really liked, I watched the snow as you sit there so still across from me yet so far, silently skimming through the messages on your phone. And then hear you laugh and tease before you quickly ran out to buy me a shiny kettle. First day you come for coffee because I boiled water in a pot. You know, you can picture all that as it happens. And I thought it was beautifully written. Excellent, right, Naomi? And Deer
Thank
Catcher,
you,
what
Greg.
Did you think? We might have lost Deer Catcher. No, he's here. Hello, Deer Catcher?
Yes, right here. Yeah, it was a very profound work. And the loss is palpable. And the artifacts, the kettles, you know, every time it snows, there'll be those memories. And, you know, there's love languages. Some people love by serving. This man served. He went out and he shoveled the snow. And every shovel full meant, I love you. Yeah, I don't want you to trip in the snow. I'm going to get it out of your way.
Yeah.
Good thing to find. Good to find a person that you can bond that tightly with.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Deer Catcher. And Sala, I mean, Martha, what did you think?
I really like it. It's a beautiful poem. It's got wonderful rhyme and flow, and I love the way it catches you in the story, and it's just excellently done.
Thank you,
Great
Martha.
Comment. Yes, thank you, Martha. And Sala, what did you think?
I mean, it seems like this relation didn't go well. I don't know what I see here, because this line, for some reason, it's beautifully the way you express yourself and you take us in the story, how it started and how the kettle, important little details that matters to you and memories. But then I slip on my boots, hat, coat, mittens, and you just step out into more silence. There seems like there's silence in this relationship, and maybe it didn't go well, maybe there's coldness. Breathing and just more cold, even he said. Either you miss him or either the other way. I really have to, I'm getting tired, sorry, so I have to read it again, but that's what I see. I had a feeling that didn't go well. I don't think you miss him. I might be wrong. I am weak. And if I didn't mess up, forgive me, man. No. I'm getting tired. Sorry, I really had a long day. Okay, I made you laugh. That's good.
Yeah, that's good. Thank
and
you.
Bobby,
no, you missed him. You missed him. I got it wrong. You missed him, and you should be bring you more tea instead of you shuffling the snow. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you, Sala. And Bobby, what did you think?
I know it's always drinking. This is just so heartrending. I get the sense that here was a close relationship, and I think it's almost worse than actually physically losing a person is losing them emotionally. They're still there. They just look through you or past you, and you're not the center of their universe anymore. Just as you are, they are still yours, but you're not theirs anymore. And I don't. I've felt that pain, and it's so profound. You feel like when you get up out of a chair, there ought to be a pool of blood there because it hurts so much. And you have expressed this such dexterity and delicacy, and it just paled it. I mean, the feeling of having someone there, and yet they're not there for you anymore, not emotionally. This is a really touching piece, Naomi. Well written.
Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you, Bobby. I feel better now, you know, that Bobby said that, so I was not wrong.
It's Bobby. Still an ongoing relationship, but it's ending. It's close to the end, I fear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, great comments, everybody. Okay, so I've got your poem up, so I don't give it a play now.
I think I love poems. Je suis thinker, un libre français. Je suis thinker. We never know if his thoughts gave him certainty or dissatisfactions. His thoughts seem to shine the sun like thousand grains of sand. Does he know that amateurs celebrate him through time, that he invites a crowd from time to time to observe, think, and rethink? After all, we exist on earth to live, to find meaning of life, to find our well-being, to contemplate the universe, to feel the beauty, to think, to try to understand each other. Un libre penseur, on ne saura jamais si ses pensées lui ont-ils donné de la certitude ou de l'insatisfaction. On dirait que ses pensées brillent sous le soleil comme mille graines de sable. Sait-il, les amateurs le célèbrent à travers le temps, puis invitent une foule de temps en temps à observer, penser, repenser. Après tout, on existe sur Terre pour vivre, pour trouver un sens à la vie, pour trouver notre bien-être, pour contempler l'univers, pour sentir la beauté, pour penser, pour essayer de se comprendre. End of poem.
Well, beautifully read, Sawa. I love your French.
Thank you.
And,
thank you.
You know, the poem is deep and insightful. And it's a powerful poem on the subject of living and why we live and the beauty in that living, being able to see that. I thought it was wonderful. Excellent write, excellent read, Tawa. And Deercatcher, what did
you
think?
Oh, I'm trying to be an adult here and just talk about what a wonderful this is. And stay away from my proclivity to think that he got really badly injured in the arm wrestling, or that he's visiting the bathroom and is wondering who stole the toilet paper.
Well, that was a great comment. Thank you, dear.
Thank
Kendra.
You.
And Martha, what did you think?
I thought it was really good. It's truth very well expressed, and she did an excellent job.
Thank you, Martha.
Great. Great comment. And Sawa, what did you think?
Oh, my poem.
I mean, well,
sorry, I'm confused, Grace. Do you mean what? I'm lost. I'm sorry.
<That's>
Grace?
Okay.
Okay.
Naomi, what did you think?
Well, I'm still laughing at your catcher's comments. I'm so sorry, Salwa. But, you know, it's amazing how you took that famous statue And you made it into a poem about the meaning of life and our existence on earth. This is just so witty and so creative. My gracious, and so beautifully written too. And phrases that lines that make us think farther, about our reason, of being the meaning of life, the reason why we're here, what we're looking for, what we're through him, through your thoughts of, what he was thinking, you brought us thoughts, to reflect on our meaning of our meaning of our existence. So this is just brilliantly written, Salva, all the way through. I just loved it.
Thank you so much, Naomi.
Thank you, Naomi. And Bobby, what did you think?
I think Salva, this is a more metaphysical than I've ever seen in any of your writes. Beautifully done. I like the way you, first of all, you've got Rodin, which I love Rodin's work. So you captured me right there. I can see you talking about someone, and this is what I really love about this piece. You are looking at another person, wondering if their thoughts gave them satisfaction, did his thoughts seem to shine in the sun like 1,000 grains of sand, did he know? And the interesting thing I find about this is it's introspection in that looking at how the other person thought made you think, and you examine someone else's life and in relationship to your own. And I think that is terribly, wonderfully profound and introspective. And like I said, this is the most metaphysical piece I've ever seen you write, and it's beautiful. I really like it.
Thank you so much, Bobby.
Well said. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, Bobby, I have your poem up, if you don't mind reading that, please.
Well, you got a sound clip.
I know, and I forgot to add it. I'm sorry. I didn't see it.
Well, thank you so much. And so I thought I was going to sit here and drink my tea and listen to myself.
Right.
I'll get you for this and your little dog, too.
Right.
I'll have to be
pulling up. Not the dog. Not my baby.
Bad host.
Yeah.
Okay. Aww.
That's all right. No dessert for you. Okay, here we go. Oh, I'm through flogging you.
But no
only,
soup for me?
Only, what's that?
No soup. No soup, nothing.
And I've heard about him. I never watched the series. I didn't have to. Everybody was talking about it so much. I heard about it vicariously.
Yeah. No, this is not hilarious.
Oh, yeah, that's what I heard. Only when I'm awake. I open my eyes to a room full of light, alone in my bed, yet another night. And every morning, right on cue, my mind turns promptly to thoughts of you. Surrounded by the silence of each day break, I only miss you when I'm awake. Independently, I start my day knowing that yours doesn't start the same way. Though plenty of mugs reside on my shelf, the whole pot of coffee I get to myself, knowing that you'll not share the meals that I make. I'll miss you, but only because I'm awake. I occupy each day with chore after chore, checking off my to-do list and keeping score, employing myself with the business of living, listening to music since the quiet's unforgiving, toiling ceaselessly all day without a break, knowing I'll miss you since I'm awake. I wordlessly endure our separation for each day that brings its own into our together time passes quickly. Opportunities are few, yet each time we're together, I fall more in love with you. To me, it feels so worth every risk that we take. since I'll miss you so much when I'm awake. So much closer than friends. With all that we've shared, we've gone so much further than we ever dared. We've exchanged our hearts. Yours belongs to me, but we can't merge our lives, for yours isn't free. And so, when we're apart, I endure the heartache, considering I miss you only when I'm awake. Daily, my thoughts of you are the company I keep. Come night, my thoughts and I go to sleep. I'm laying here alone again in the middle of my bed, and memories of our stolen moments fill my head. My heart's caught in the balance. While I sleep, it gets a break, because I only miss you when I'm awake. End poem.
Well, that was beautiful, Bobby. Yeah. You know, you can feel the despair and the longing, and, you know, this secret relationship that can't be together, with stolen memories floating through your head. I thought it was just beautifully written. My heart's caught in balance while I sleep and get to break, because I only miss you when I'm awake. You know, just a heart-wrenching poem. And
thank you.
Your author's note says, I hope that it, if given a choice between blinding heartache and a complete and silent nothing, I will always take ache. Because here's the point to a life untouched by sorrow. A life without sorrow is a life without joy, because the light, it is impossible without the dark. Yeah, absolutely. Well said. Thank you, Bobby. What did you think, dear Catherine?
I'm kind of speechless because it struck really, really the home close home to me. I just, what was the name of that title? What was the title
called? Only When I'm
When
Awake.
I'm Awake.
Only When I'm Awake. Yeah, it just,
you couldn't pay me a finer compliment. Thank you.
Huh?
I said you couldn't pay me a finer compliment. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, dear Tetra. And Sawa, what did you think?
I just love Bobby's right. She has such a great control of language, and this is one. But I love how not only show us how much you miss him, but what really your relation was. When you say, where is it, friendship? I can't remember. Oh, my goodness. See, the fatigue, what does it do? Oh, like you were more than friends, and how much you really share together. But then you occupy your life. How to, like as you said, when you're sleeping, only when you're awake. So how to try to not remember, try to occupy yourself. Even when you occupy yourself and have you doing your business, you still miss him. Nothing really stop you from missing him. This is really beautiful and heart. And you can feel the emotion in every word. And I like the contrast between the words. You did such a great job, light and night and so on. Really well done.
Thank you, Sawa. Beautiful comment. And Naomi, what did you think?
Oh, I just love this, Bobby. The repetition of, you know, of the turn, well, you turn it in some ways, but comes back there. The feeling of only missing you when I'm awake. And the way you make it so real when you talk about, you know, plenty of mugs reside on the shelf. The whole pot of coffee I get to myself, knowing not, you'll not share the meals that I make. You know, that's really part of every day moment, not sharing meals with someone, you know. It's just eating alone without them. And then you say, employing myself with the business of living, listening to music since the quiet. On forgiving, toiling ceaselessly all day without a break, knowing I'll miss you since I'm awake. You bring in all the daily you know, you go through the day and you express how much you miss him, you know, just by being awake. This is just so amazingly written and, you know, just heart-wrenching. Beautiful, beautiful write, Bobby, all throughout.
Very much.
Great comment, Naomi. Would you like to say anything about your poem, Bobby?
It's autobiographical in nature, and you can't control who you fall in love with, unfortunately. I thought about the contest. I thought about missing someone, and fortunately, my past experiences from losing my parents, my dad, get a break when you're sleeping, usually, unless you start dreaming about them, which is, I do with annoying regularity. But when you're awake, you can't help it. They invade your thoughts. You look at something, you get a reminder of them. You wonder what they're doing with their day. You wish you could just reach out and maybe touch them on the shoulder or put your arms around them to let them know how much you care about them, how much they're loved. And that's what I was feeling through this. And as Naomi observed, I tried to include just routine, everyday things that you go through on an average day where there's so much of a difference if there's someone there with you sharing them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comments. Thank you for sharing that, Bobby. Okay, so this next poem is by Jack Tomkovic, and it's called Life is a High Dive. Life is a high dive into a petite pool, not strong or deep for the job. All you can do is pray to hit the water and not asphalt. We splash and splutter, act like nutters, scream and stutter. It doesn't matter. It's going to sting and scar, but won't kill you if you do it between the lines. Huh. And then the author notices just a bit of joy for all those despairing. Huh. But, yeah, you know, I like it. It has a nice little wit to it, and I liked it. But the we splash and splutter, act like nutter, scream and stutter, it doesn't matter. It's all going to sting and scar, but won't kill you if you do it between the lines. And, you know, I thought it was great. But fantastic storyline to it as well. Excellent, right? What did you think, Deer Catcher?
I have to refrain from acting like a nutter because there's people around here that will catch me and lock me up.
Great comment, thank you. And so while you're gone? Yep. Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, well, I think this is so, like you said, so full of wit. It's such a clever poem, a metaphor for, you know, just life itself, you know, how you take that deep that high dive into life, not knowing exactly what's going to happen. And, you know, just with, like you said, splash and splutter and act like nutters and scream and stutter and it doesn't matter because, you know, what's going to happen is going to happen. And, you know, we come out with stings and stars, but we're not dead, you know, if you do it between the lines. Yeah, I think this is a great, great, an amazing, witty, clever write. Just brilliantly written by Jack Tomalik.
Well said. Thank you, Naomi. And Bobby, what did you think?
I like Jack's writing. He always introduces a small element of humor even a wry or very dry humor, sometimes self-deprecating, like one of his other pieces. And he is not opposed or averse to laughing at himself. But I love the way he compares life. His title in his first stanza, "Life is a high dive into a petite pool, not strong or deep for the job." And he captures that life is so full of risk. It's like he uses analogy. It's like a high dive into a damp sponge. You know, you hit the sponge and it doesn't hurt quite as much as you expect it to. But you know, like you're putting your head out there on the line, just worried that, you know, someone leaves part of it behind for you. We splash and sputter and act like nutters, scream and stutter, it doesn't matter. Great assonance. Like I said, great brevity. He's captured the essence of it quite beautifully.
Well said. Thank you, Bobby. And I'd like to welcome Frank to the show. Hello, Frank.
Hello. Hello there, my friends.
Hi, Frank.
Hi. Hello. Hello there. I heard several voices, but yes, I was able to hear the poem. Agree. It only seems like it's like a bungee jump into life itself. You know, life is never guaranteed. You know, so you know when you think about you know what we do in life and how we enjoy it, you know, we're always conditioned to know that perhaps we might not be able to be around to do a next you know jump in life. You know. Experience here is well sounded in this poem. There is that humorous aspect of his poetry, but I really like the message here, what he talks about here. You know, though it's mired in wit, there is some validity, some relativity, you know, that corresponds to this poem, and with that title in particular. So I do believe at times that life is a high dive. You know, it's about experiences, you know, and how do we equate our experiences to life. So I thought he did a fantastic job here.
Well said. Thank you, Frank. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Okay.
So I'm going to grab your poem here. And we have a SoundCloud for that, so I'll play that.
All right.
Okay. I'll grab the SoundCloud.
Lying beside you is to feel the warmth of your body next to mine. I hear the gentle rhythm of your heart, and I whisper softly into your ears the intimate words of, I love you. I look into the radiance of your eyes to see the beauty of their color. I sense the divine nature of their purity, and I taste your lips to feel the moisture. Your hair I caress like a thread of fine silk, knowing you still want to be at my side, not breaking a bond, holding us together like hummingbirds with fluttering wings. To live without you is worse than the solitude of the night, when all I need is for you to be my eternal breath in light. Of a guiding love and devotion so real and so natural to me, like the water of a cascade or the splash of the regal lilacs. All I want is to hold you tight, and please don't go before you hear my voice serenading your heart. I want you to know truly what your love means to me and how much I care for you with the touch of my kiss. To live without you would be a fool's destiny and one that I could not bear, for I breathe your love. The easiest thing is to walk away, but the hardest thing is to fight for our love. Stay with me tonight and let me just wrap you in the warm embrace of my open arms. So I come to you with love, nothing to hide, believe what I say. So here I am before you now, hoping you'll see what your love means to me in the end. If I can make you stay and listen to my heart, I would say to you sincerely these simple words of mine. I love you, and only mi amor. In the poem.
Well, that was a beautiful SoundCloud, Frank. The music.
I appreciate that. I was inspired by Journey's, by the song there by Journey, which was one of my favorite groups there. And I was very, as a kid, you could say. So it was very much inspired on that, that influence there. It is personal, of course, but there is also that that influence of the song. But I want to say thank you for giving me a chance to be able to bring this poem. It's a year ago, but when I saw your contest there, I said to myself, well, I had to find something there, and this was the one that came to mind.
Yeah, no, it was quite beautiful. A very fantastically written poem. It's very smooth and flowing. It fills the reader with a desire to have a connection like this. Just so beautiful.
Thank you very
much.
What
did you think, dear Kevin? You bet.
Oh, what a wonderful voice. That's just a great voice, great poem. I'm sure it's a very convincing poem. All the invitations, the longing and the desire. It had to ring a truth to me.
I agree. Thank you very much.
Thank you, dear Catcher. And Naomi, what did you think?
Well, I grew up on Journey, so Open Arms was one of my favorite songs, and Sail Away. But I think you really captured the emotion inside the song, and that's the only simple words that a girl wants to hear is I love you and only you, my love. So, it was written so beautifully, Frank, and so well expressed and composed, and it's so romantic and just a beautiful, beautiful all throughout. So bravo.
Right, thank you. Merci.
Thank you
very much, sir.
Bobby, what did you think?
Oh, Frank knows I love him for his poetry. Oh, read the phone book to me, Frank. This is beautiful. What I really enjoyed about this is you're transitioning in here. You've started with reminiscences, very romantic, very loving and touch and tender, and it transitions into the conflict with such adroitness, and that all of a sudden you find yourself with this wonderful relationship that you treasure so much. All I want to do is hold you. Please don't go. Before I hear your voice serenading, before you hear my voice serenading your heart. That is so beautifully said. I want you to know truly what your love means to me. And the second half of your piece is with such desperation trying to convince this person who is so essential to your happiness that they are, that they're that important to you. And You want them to stay, but you can't. And it's the anguish of knowing that you can't control another person's actions, and the desperation of I wish I could make you stay and listen to my heart. I would say to you sincerely the simple words of mine: I love you and only you. And that simple ending just says it all. I mean, this is a very deeply emotional piece, very complex. And like I said, the transitioning in the middle of it is just beautifully done, Frank.
Okay. Well, you left me speechless there with words, without words, I would say. I just want to say thank you very much on those comments. And yes, the poem was a very personal poem. It was written a year ago. It's going through much of a hardship there at times, you know. It had been, I would say, several years since my divorce in Soviet, but this was when I came up with the prompt there, it was a prompt on the song, which I very much enjoyed, and this is what came out of it. This was what the product of that song and those memories as well.
Beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you for sharing, Frank. Okay, dear You're catcher, welcome. I have the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please, by Pam 8.
Okay, right, left?
Yes.
Right, left. Right, left. Beat, beat, beat. Bilateral stimulation, repeat, repeat, repeat. You're not so mean. You're not so bad. For you've given me something I never had. Realization, determination, a complete resurgence of power. The past can no longer harm me. For I have once and for all broke free, rising above.
Wonderful read, dear catcher. Excellent read and a fantastic rate, you know. Right, left, beep, 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 bilateral stimulation, repeat, repeat, repeat. You're not so mean, you're not so bad, or you've given me something I've never had. Realization, determination. You know, life can offer you these things in strange ways, but when you can find the lesson in life's little incidences, then you can grasp something out of it that's for the better. So I thought it was well done. And what did you think?
Me?
Yes.
Did you say Naomi? Yes. Well, I thought this was brilliantly written. You know, it draws in your eye with that right, left, beep, beep, beep. You're just like your eye is just drawn to it, to the formatting of it too, and just the little short phrasing throughout it. It's like, you know, a monitor of a heartbeat makes me think, you know, of a, what do they call those, you know, on those where they capture your heartbeat there. Is it electrogram there? I don't know. I don't know what it is in English, but you know, it's just it captures that, like that movement of that beeping and that you know, the reflection of that. So I thought this was a powerful write all through, and like you said, just you know, a well written life that reflects that, you know, your experience that you get from life, although it harms you at times, well, the past also brings you experience, you know, to go through forward and to keep living and to pass through difficulties. And it gives you power. So just well written all through.
Well said. Thank you, Naomi. And Bobby, what did you think?
I like Pam's writing. The style of this, the very staccato style, right, left, beep, 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 very, it draws your attention to it. very focused, and interestingly enough, without saying anything adverse about the antagonist, you're not so mean, you're not so bad, because you're giving me something I never had, realization, determination. The protagonist has found the pony in the pile of manure. Bad results on a relationship, yet she's found something positive to take away from it. There's a person that's a survivor. That's a great survival tactic, one of my favorites. The past can no longer harm me, for I have once and for all broken free, rising above. This is such an empowering piece because you can feel that there's the genesis of the comments is something averse that's happened to the writer, and yet they've taken it and gone, I'm going to get through this. I'm going to come out the other side stronger than when I went in. And that's a pretty impressive.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. Great comment. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Yes, I'm going to go for those lines as well. There is that ironic thing about saying you're not so mean, you're not so bad. You know, what I find so much compelling is the way the format, the way she wrote this poem there. You know, she really used capitalized letters there in the most, I would say, the most meaningful words there, realization and determination. There is a sense of self-admission in this piece here, and a realization there of what was and what is now. You know, when she says the past can no longer harm me, for I have once and for all broken free, there is that sense of liberation. This piece really has a philosophical aspect as well to it.
Well said. Thank you, Frank. I agree. Okay, I've got the next poem. It's by Crystal Hope, and she has a SoundCloud.
Raindrops flooded on her storybook chapter. A wave of ignorance to happily ever after. Her fingers crumble to pieces and disappear from a stream of a rippled tear. Photographs fade in the scrapbook, scrapping the memories as her hand shook, remembering the embers of bubbled joy only a depressed thought can destroy. A novella of lost, loved words parading on the places that hurt. Staring into space in a grieving stage, bleeding ink on a lined ripped page, blanketing memories on a blank shelf, as she whispers, I miss you, to herself.
Oh, God. Wow. That was a deep poem. You know, here you're thinking she's really missing somebody, but yet she's missing herself at the end. Just a beautiful, right? Excellent read as well. On a poem called Remembering Embers. But I thought it was just beautiful crafting of poetmanship here. What did you think, dear Catcher?
It can go that way, or it can go so many different ways. I mean, you assume it's a lover, but it could be someone that she'd had a long time it could be an abandonment, but I don't think so. It could be. Probably abandonment, but you could read it as a long-term relationship where the partner has died. This writer has gotten into my heart and made me care about the character in the poem. I'm deeply worried about her, I'm deeply concerned, and dog in me, you know, wants to hunt down the jerk that took her and took advantage of her. Because a woman has to read what she believes is the future of the man that's courting her. And it's very easy to say things with no intention of making good on them and convincing a woman that this person is going to be there when she's naked and vulnerable. And they really are just along for the ride, and it's treacherous. And it makes it really hard for the good guys out there. We just want to love and be loved. You know, the ghastly wounds and abandoned people. You know, and then they punish the next person that comes along for the sins of the other guy. And they can't trust. You know, it just, there's reasons why society did things the way it did with courtship and marriage. And we penalize ourselves. We really, in the name of freedom, we're doing a lot of experimentation without actively analyzing the reasons behind the traditions. You know, there's some protection there. This girl had no protection. She's devastated. I mean, you can just feel her devastation. And you just, you know, and there's no, you know, the last one, she had a plan. She was reprogramming her mind in a very methodical, very mechanical way. She was taking her computer mind and reprogramming it. And she had a plan, and she was executing it. I really, my question there was it strong enough? You know, was it really going to hold her? If she got around this guy and he started singing the right tune, was she going to lose her stuff again? This one here, she doesn't even have a plan. She's just totally in her pain. But that's the picture she's given us. That's the poem she's written us. And I guess the amount of time I'm talking about it shows how deep she got into me.
Yeah, but no, it was an excellent comment. Deep thoughts. What did you think, Naomi?
Oh yeah, it's just I agree. You know, this really, it really and captures you in this right. And it's as if she poured her whole heart and soul into this. You know, her fingers crumble to pieces and disappear. And then after photographs fade and the scrapbook scrapping the memories as her hands shook, she remembers the joy, but everything, you know, she's just stuck there staring into space in a grieving stage, bleeding ink on a lined, ripped page. You know, each couplet is so wonderfully written. Wow, this is just an amazing, amazing write by Crystal here. Just fantastic.
Excellent comment. Thank you, Naomi. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Deercatcher had something when he said that this could go in any direction. I've been rereading it, and this could be it is a piece on profound pain and loss. But if you study it, is it the loss of someone else's affection? Is it the loss of someone in a relationship? This could also be someone grieving over a chapter in their own lives that is over and will never come again. They could be looking, they could be an old person looking at their past, remembering something that used to give them joy that they can never revisit because none of us can ever be 20 or 30 again. And that elusiveness of that joy in their lives, we're not realizing that at the moment they didn't appreciate that moment would be there and gone. Blanketing memories on a blank shelf as she whispers, "I miss you." Here's the last line. She whispers, "I miss you," to herself. And she misses something about herself that she used to have and doesn't have anymore. It's the lines from the song, "What do I have? What did I have that I don't have? What have I got? The great big lack of." something in me that you know, you saw that you don't see anymore. That's the way I'm reading it.
Yeah, that's kind of what I got out of it too. Thank you, Bobby. And Frank, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think everyone has said so much about this poem. It's a very heartfelt poem, but it also is mired in very much in sorrow, a melancholy as well. It can mean many things here, as what has been said before. You know, it can be a loved one, as in, you know, a lover, a family member, a friend, someone that's very much, very, that you cherish very much. The fire of the heart. So on that last line, there is a sense of reflection as well. You know, it's very contemplative in the sense that she acknowledges that all these things have transpired, you know, like a novella, but the, you know, but they're still there in the sense of, you know, in the form of a whisper or whispers. And I found that very indicative of what the title is called, Remembering Embers, because there is that haunting, you know, memory or memories that are still there, are very much afresh.
Absolutely. Thank you, Frank. Okay, Naomi, I have the next poem up, if you don't mind, please.
Okay. This is called, Martha is there, still there. Oh, my gracious. Martha?
I'm sorry, Martha?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Would you like to comment on the last poem? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I can really relate to this poem because when I lost my husband, I probably said, I miss you 100 times a day. And I don't know if it was to myself or to him, but there was just something in just saying those words. So I can really relate to the emotion in this poem.
Well, that's touching, Martha. Thank you for sharing. Okay, Naomi, whenever you're ready.
Yeah, words mingled silence. Blow, blow, a gust of wind. Outrushing teeth of glass. Watercolor of thorns. Handwriting scars. Turns in droplets. Raining breeze. Dimensions blueprints of immeasurable air. Hollow oscillations radiate in dingo. Cassia trees rub your spine. Shattered stilettos, warning signs. Hovered like sparrows, calypso, vine. Straight away, vulnerabilities, hanging clouds, in depths mirrored, mirage. Conversely, black holes, beacon, red ribbons from your hair while you drift in the in-between. At the moment, did you forget expressions, restrained sails? Limits of the page unravel your way into elliptical, lean sideways so daylight inverts. Lean sideways so daylight inverts flashing wings or on balance. You leave a piece to pollinate the silence. Waveless illustration stretching into a seamless meteor. Toss the seeds, scatter the hollow. In the distance, calligraphic brush strokes. Under the streetlights, soiled footprints, monochrome butterflies flew here and there. Templated construction, burning wicks down the boulevard. Meanwhile, memories, withered noise, spinning together across drums, orphaned blue. Adjacent to cattleya, orchids rest on icy bouquet. Cradling breath, songs of silence. In the background, sash skies tightly folded. In the foreground, tones from your strained mahogany, sculptured crevices in oxygen, strained braille, flight steals into me. My puppeteer reflected, a beating aorta, swept on the lengthling, disappeared, how silently given these points. Marionette in me gestures against bosom's bath line, iambic among the crickets in the beauteous profundity, drying up all courage and conscience. In summary, bamboo flutes, the final cut, speechless white peonies. End poem.
Well, that was a beautiful read, Naomi. And, you know, it's deeply metaphoric and cryptic, this poem, but it's you can feel the longing in these lines, though. Memories, withered noise, spinning together across drums, orphaned blue, adjacent to Cattleya orchids rest on an icy bouquet, cradling breath, songs of silence in the background, sash guys tightly folded in the foreground, tones from your stained mahogany, sculptured crevices in oxygen-stained braille. Flight steals into me. You know, you can feel the longing. It's palpable in that, right, even though it's very metaphoric. Excellent job. Xylophonic blues. And, Dear Catcher, what did you think?
Well, I was just looking at that imperceptible black holes bacon, red ribbon. You know, red ribbon bacon is better for you than black holes bacon. It's kind of this style I have. I can't write this way. It's where you write on the fringes of the meaning of the words in order to generate feelings that aren't actually what the words are saying. You know, if you take it at face value, it's often gibberish, but it's creating this incredible sense of longing and loneliness and dynamic jaggedness. I really appreciate this style. I don't understand it very well. I don't interpret it very well, and I can't write it at all.
Yeah, no doubt. Thank you, Dreamweaver. And Martha, what did you think? I mean, sorry, thank you, Dear Catcher. Martha, what did you think?
I thought it was a great write. You can feel the sorrow and the longing all the way through the poem. It was excellently written.
Thank you. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think she used a clever and brilliant metaphors all throughout this. You know, it's very well written. I'm like Dreamcatcher. I have a hard time writing in this style. I have to get into it more. That's my next step. But I usually write in more in a straightforward, you know, clean, well, you know, a straightforward, raw way. But I think this is just beautiful. When you can use it, and when you can, you know, when you can write in this way and make it, you know, make the emotion flow through from the words, from the metaphors, create that longing that she has in this poem, this sadness, this deepness, with the richness just of the metaphors. It's just amazing. So bravo.
Thank you, Naomi. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Oh, this is so abstract. I'm thinking in terms of, you know me, I love a crisis. And this to me reminds me of a Pollock, a Jackson Pollock. There's a stream of consciousness here. It's woven together very tightly, very intricately. You can see that there's a great deal of care in selection of the phrasing, yet the poet leaves the interpretation and the emotion to the reader, to the reader's discretion. You are able to glean what you will from it. And I also, I cannot write in abstract. I just, the engineer in me will not let me do that. same with my art. My art has to be represented in reality. Otherwise, I've tried. I look at it and I go, this is junk. But this is, yeah. It's got some phrasing in it. Gestures against bosom, baseline, iambic, among the crickets in the beauteous profundity, dry up all courage and conscience. In summary, bamboo fruits, the final cut, speechless white peonies. It's beautiful. It really is. It's colorful. It's very tactile. It's very layered. It's a very complex rite, especially the structuring has given it flow along with the words. It guides your eye. So I say this is a read that you cannot just consume in one reading. You've got to sit down. It's like cognac. You've got to sip it a little at a time and study intricacies to really appreciate it. But I do appreciate the complexities of this rite, and I don't follow this person, but I think I'm going to start.
Well, fantastic comment, Bobby. Thank you. And Frank, what do you think?
Well, I know we're running out of time here, so I'll try to be succinct to you. I know Blues are writing. He has a wonderful gift of writing in the abstract form. And this poem is very melancholic. It's as well as what I said before. The other one, it's sorrowful. But he does a wonderful job there, I would say, in using his abstract metaphors to convey, you know, the tone of the poem, which at times, you know, it's difficult when you do abstract to be consistent in maintaining the tone and the message of the poem. So in that regard, I have to say that he did a fantastic and exceptional job.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Brink. Okay, I've got the last poem here. It's by Weaver of Dreams and Tia Sandler.
I know you're gone. Of course I do. My head knows. My heart refuses. You can't be gone when I can almost see you. I hear you. You're just around the corner. So close. Still near. Come closer. Closer. I need to know that you can hear me too. It's hard knowing I can't be with you, see you, or give you a hug. But you won't be laughing at my one-liners, groaning over my puns. No more fighting about who will pay for lunch when they go on a trip, or sipping a glass of prosecco watching Golden Girls reruns. The tenses are wrong. It's not said, it's say. It's not smiled, you smile. It's not laughed, you laugh, because you're here, not there. I feel in my heart you're not far away. There's no need to say goodbye. Nothing's changed, nor ever will. You are still my dearest friend, not where.
Well, that was a heart-touching poem, a very heartfelt, right? You know, you can feel the raw and real emotions in here. It's very dramatically emphasized in the tenses are wrong. It's not said, it's say. It's not smiled, you smile. It's not laughed, you laugh. Because you are here, not there. You know, that's just powerful stuff right there. What did you think, Dear Catcher?
It reminds me of a little old lady. I was taking care of her property, and she was grieving the loss of her husband. And I talked to her and helped her remember one time that she was at the graveyard, and she said, "Oh, I wish you could show me that you can still hear me." And in the moment, a hummingbird flew up in front of her face, a footway, and hovered there for a second or two, and then flew away. And I told her, I said, you know, that's a miracle. Miracles are rare, and they are timely. I said, I've worked in trees my entire life, and one time I've had a hummingbird fly up in front of and hover in front of my face. So that was your answer. You had your answer. And she had forgotten. She had forgotten. But I wrote a poem about it, and I gave it to her so you know, she could put it on the wall and not forget that her husband was still there and he could hear her.
Wow, that's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. Martha, what did you think?
Well, I thought it was really good. I could really relate to that because, well, again, like when I lost my husband, people would say, I don't understand why when somebody's gone, we say, I loved him so much, or it's all in the past, but the love is still there. It's not in the past. And I can totally relate to what she's saying because you still love them even if they're gone. It makes no difference.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for that. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, I totally agree with Martha. Her comment there that we do tend to talk in the past tense. And I love how Weaver of Dreams, you know, plays with the tenses, as you said, Gray, in this poem here. And I love the lines, you know, that when she brings it real and raw, no more fighting about who will pay for lunch when we go on a trip or sipping a glass of Prosecco, watching Golden Girls reruns. That just brings it all alive. This is one of the best pieces I've read or heard from Weaver of Dreams. I just ate this piece up. It's just amazing.
Excellent comment. Thank you, Naomi. And Bobby, what did you think? Hello, Bobby?
I'm sorry. We're running short on time, so I'm going to take a bye on this so you can wrap things up. Because we've only got about a minute or so.
Yeah, okay. Frank, what did you think?
I'll just say I'll be brief as well. I thought it was a heartfelt poem. It was beautiful and set in its express, and I really enjoyed this piece here, the sincerity above all.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you so much, Frank. Thank you, everybody, for following you. Share your hearts, your minds, your voices, and most especially your time. Much love, poets, and have a great night.
Take care.
Thank you, Gray.
Okay.
Bye, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.